Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine. Joining us today is Dr. Chelsea Curry, and she is going to discuss a case study she co-authored for the spring 2015 issue of Lab Medicine.
Hello, this is Dr. Chelsea Curry with the Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine at the University of Chicago Pritzker School of Medicine and the North Shore University Health System. Today I will be discussing an interesting case study. A 57-year-old man with no significant past medical or surgical history, including urologic procedures, presented with dysuria and urinary urgency of 2 weeks' duration. Empirical antibiotic therapy with ciprofloxacin resulted in no improvement in his symptoms. Urinalysis revealed hematuria, pyuria, and proteinuria, but the urinary culture was negative. Empiric clindamycin therapy was started, and a CT scan was obtained, which demonstrated marked thickening and edema of the bladder wall, with several areas of calcification thought to represent either an infection or a neoplasm. A subsequent cystoscopy showed a diffusely inflamed bladder with multiple yellow-tan to tan-white friable necrotic-appearing lesions. The histological examination of the bladder biopsy showed mucosal ulceration, acute inflammation, and extensive calcified necrotic debris replacing the bladder mucosa. There was also chronic inflammation, including eosinophils, in the lamina propria, along with a marked reactive vascular proliferation in the submucosa. No granulomas or eggs were identified, and a Brown and Hopps tissue gram stain was negative. After the histologic diagnosis of encrusted cystitis was suggested, a subsequent urine sample collected for culture grew Carinibacterium species after an extended incubation period of greater than 7 days. Gram stain smear of the urine was again negative. Culture on blood agar and air supplemented with 5% CO2 and incubated at 37 degrees Celsius showed white-yellow circular convex colonies, which on gram stain demonstrated gram-positive cariniform rods. The microbe was found to be sensitive to ceftriaxone, penicillin G, Bactrim, and vancomycin, and resistant to clindamycin, erythromycin, and tetracycline. Using 16S rRNA gene sequencing, the organism was further characterized. Sequences were analyzed using Mega software and compared to all available 16S rRNA sequences in the National Center for Biotechnology Information GenBank database using the BLAST program. The isolate was a 98% match to Carinibacterium glucuronolyticum. Encrusted cystitis was first described in 1914. It is principally caused by Carinibacterium urealyticum, a gram-positive, slow-growing, lipophilic, asaccharolytic, and usually multi-drug-resistant organism with strong urease activity. It can infect the upper and lower urinary tract. The characteristic urease activity hydrolyzes urea-releasing ammonia, which alkalinizes the urine and damages the bladder mucosa layer. This facilitates bacterial adherence, tissue inflammation, and precipitation of struvite and calcium phosphate. Precipitation of these crystals leads to the bladder wall incrustations, which is characteristic of this condition. In addition, various other organisms such as Streptococcus, Staphylococcus, Protease, and E. coli are reported to be responsible for this condition. The differential diagnosis of urinary bladder wall incrustations include schistosomiasis, tuberculosis, urea-splitting bacteria such as Carinibacterium or Proteus, necrotic urothelial carcinoma, melecoplakia, or after intravesical instillations of cyclophosphamide or mitomycin. The previously reported cases of encrusted cystitis have occurred in patients with predisposing risk factors. Prior urological procedures, prolonged catheterization, or long-term hospitalization with broad-spectrum antibiotic therapy have been most commonly reported. Encrusted cystitis has also been observed in immunosuppressed patients such as renal transplant recipients and in patients being treated for cancer or a systemic autoimmune disorder such as rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, or vasculitis. Other rarely reported predisposing risk factors include neurologic bladder dysfunction and in a child with an ectopic kidney. More than 40 urea-splitting bacteria have been described causing urinary tract infections in which the urea is hydrolyzed into ammonia and water. We report a rare case of encrusted cystitis caused by C. glucuronolyticum in a patient without predisposing risk factors. It has been isolated from the genitourinary tract of humans, predominantly males, as shown in a recently reported rare case of non-gonococcal urethritis caused by Carinibacterium glucuronolyticum, but with no evidence of encrusted cystitis. So currently, we do not fully understand why this happens in patients with no risk factors. Patients with encrusted cystitis often have long-lasting symptoms of dysuria, urethral discomfort, suprapubic and or lumbar pain, and gross hematuria. Appropriate treatment is often delayed due to difficulties in diagnosis and numerous antibiotic resistances. Treatment includes appropriate antimicrobial therapy, urine acidification, and surgical removal of incrustations. Carinibacterium microorganisms typically demonstrate sensitivity to glycopeptides, therefore the most commonly used antibiotics include vancomycin or teicoplanin. Acidification of the urine has a synergistic effect with antibiotics by dissolving the calcified incrustations and preventing the formation of additional incrustations. Urine acidification is accomplished with oral or topical acidic solutions. The topical acidic solution applied through a catheter or nephrostomy tube is usually needed, especially at the start of treatment. Finally, surgical resection of incrustations via cystoscopy is usually necessary and often requires successive procedures. Left untreated, encrusted cystitis and pyelitis can eventually lead to renal failure. Thus, the precise diagnosis of encrusted cystitis and institution of appropriate treatment is important to prevent detrimental sequelae. Back to the patient. Subsequent bladder biopsies obtained 1 and 3 months from his initial presentation again demonstrated ulcerated mucosa and dystrophic calcifications. The patient continued to be symptomatic after prolonged oral vancomycin treatment and cystoscopies to remove incrustations. Therefore, intravenous vancomycin therapy was initiated, which resulted in improvement of his symptoms. Follow-up at 6 months showed he was asymptomatic, and he was just recently seen in January of 2015 for follow-up. He had been free of active pain or incontinence or bleeding for a year. Other than a little bit of frequency, he had no significant concerns. He remains on oxybutynin to help the bladder hold urine longer. He does have a little bit of retrograde ejaculation, which is likely from his bladder neck resection during clean out of the calcified tissues, but he has no erectile dysfunction. Overall, he reports that he is happy. He was told to return for another follow-up appointment in 1 year.